rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to our worship service. We're glad you are here on this beautiful day. We are, as we always try to, you know, the most difficult job in any congregation? What do you think the hardest thing in any church, any congregation, the most difficult job? The person who controls the thermostat. And in these transitional days, guess what I hear? Equal a number of comments. Too hot, too cold. If you're too hot, if you're too cold, put a sweater on. If you're too hot, don't take anything off. But we did turn the fans off, and we keep it right around 71, 72. Does that sound reasonable? Sort of an equal medium for everyone? All right. On a serious note, we are collecting cookies for Parkview. June the 1st, we will be providing the meal there. Webb will be cooking, and we will be doing that. So that will be June the 1st. We need volunteers start around 2 o'clock. We need people to make cookies and put them in bags of 2 each. You can bring them into church, or you can bring them by that day. Anything else about that, Carolyn?
No, bring the cookies next Sunday if you want to.
Okay, thank you. And some brought today. Also, the church here that we share the building with, the pastor there called me and said that they had just a tray of cookies they wanted to give for us. So when you leave church today, there'll be cookies on the table by the door. Feel free to have a cookie with their greetings. Also, I want to recognize that we have a couple things that we want to celebrate. I have recognized my anniversary this past week, and I'm blessed and even got some roses from my dear wife. So I
happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. And tomorrow, you two, Karen and Mark, you're having your anniversary, aren't you? So we're grateful for that. And in between the two, some lady, she's trying to be incognito, but we still know who it is, named Martha Mahanes, is having a birthday today, isn't it? So it's our distinct pleasure before worship begins to try to embarrass as many people as possible. So, a one, a two.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Martha. Happy birthday to you.
Well, happy birthday, Martha. Well, I hope you do something really special. Also, we will not be able to meet unless one of the participants offers their home. We will not be able to meet the next two Thursday nights for Bible study here because of conflicts. The church, the daycare, and the school have a graduation type of festivity. So what's in the bulletin is wrong. I didn't learn that until last night. But we will not meet the next two Thursdays. Any other announcements? Any joys or concerns that you have shared? Yes, ma'am.
I am so incredibly happy to report that my mom did great with her valve replacement. She only had spent one night in the hospital. She did so well with the PT person at the hospital the next day that they said, you don't even have to go to, you know, physical therapy once you go home. You can just exercise on your own at home. She's doing wonderfully.
That's
so
great.
I thank everyone for their prayers.
Well, let's keep Elgin in prayer. And Tyler, Texas, right?
Close to Tyler.
Okay, so let's keep her in prayer. And we want to give thanks for Traveling Mercies. As many of us have traveled, that the hand of protection is on us. And we just want to thank God for that. Any other praises or prayer requests that anyone has? Yes, sir, Andy.
So we've been praying for my mother in Florida, and she's had many fractures and very bad off. And she's doing so much better, and the doctor did another bone density, and her bone had increased by to 18%, which is like a miracle.
Now, her name is Lydia?
Lydia.
Lydia, okay.
So, thank you. And also, praise for my son. He is promoted to lieutenant today in the Coast Guard, so we're going to celebrate with that.
Oh, great.
Thank you for your prayers for our family. It means so much.
Well, we're grateful to hear that with Lydia, and tell John we're proud of him and thank him for his service to our country. And I've got to, I don't ever do this, but I've got to tell you during announcements, I was blessed this week. Sherry and I went to Mission Barbecue. And if you want to go somewhere where you just come away feeling renewed and blessed, go there. It's a great place. That's all I want to say. Any other prayer requests or joys? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we are family. We celebrate the events in our lives that bring us joy. We celebrate the goodness of things that go our way. And we uphold one another through the difficult times, with laughter and tears, with joy and concern, we come together with brother and sister. And together we come to one who is not the holy other, impassionate and unconcerned, but one who is a sympathetic high priest, who in every way knows every emotion that we have. We thank you for that. We just praise your holy name, for you are the source of every good gift. All good originates from the only good, so we thank you for every gift we have. We praise your holy name. We pray that you will continue to be with L. Jean and Lydia. We thank you for good reports, and we just pray that you'll continue to strengthen and work with both of these ladies. We thank you for John. We celebrate his advancement, and we appreciate his service, as we do all those who serve our country. We just thank you for the blessing we have of those who are willing to hear and answer that call. We pray that you would protect those that are in harm's way, both abroad and domestically. We thank you for all those that serve us. We thank you for the love of this congregation and for all things, and above all things, we thank you for the love of our precious Savior, and it's through his name we pray. Amen. As we gather to worship, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 67 by whole verse, calling each to worship, and then we'll stand and sing All Creatures of Our God and King, Him Alone. May God be merciful to us and bless us, show us the light of His countenance, and come upon us.
Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving help among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations upon earth.
Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth her increase. May God, our own God, give us his blessing.
May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him.
A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us.
Against us, and lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from the 21st chapter of Revelation, which starts out talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thank you. we give you praise alone, for it is right and good. Amen.
Gospel reading from John chapter 16, verses 23 through 33. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and have come into the world. And now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. And in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. A French ruler said once, you write the laws, let me write the music, and I will rule your people. We know there's something powerful about music, and I was sitting last night having heard Andy on his horn and John on his guitar, thinking, I understand why King Saul called David to come and play. And it soothes the heart, doesn't it? Sometimes more words, even words of encouragement, is not what we need. It's just the joy of hearing music. And we are gifted here. And to hear this morning, Mona, Sarah, Andy, all the talent, it's just a blessing. And I give God praise for that. So let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, for all your goodness. From creation to consummation, you do all things well. May we know that. May we trust that. And may we relish in your goodness alone. We ask it in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll see a sticky note. I hope you have a pen. I don't know if you've ever written a sermon, but you're going to write the first part of my sermon. Now, no one's going to see it but you. I'm going to give you what many of you have always wanted. And that is, in this imaginary exercise, and again, no one will see it. You don't have to turn it in. I just want you to be honest. If you were God, what would you do in the world today? If you were God, what would you change? If you were God, what would you fix? So just take a few moments, and I will as well. And envision, if you were God with all creative power, if you were God with all abilities, if you could do anything you wanted, what would you change, fix, or correct? Give some thought on that. Now, it probably shouldn't have been a very hard exercise. Because in life and scripture, we often see, even in the Garden of Eden, there's a tendency when we pray to the Creator above to sort of direct requests, to ask for these things. I don't know what you put. I've done this exercise over the years before, and I've seen, and I, you know, harmony among family members, world peace, eradication of hunger and cancer. Maybe you put things like a promotion, a work, everyone make a certain wage. One time a fellow put that the Cleveland Browns would have a winning Super Bowl. What is it you would do if you were God? And that's where the rub is. Because the truth of the matter is, there's really only one sermon that's repeated over and over in different ways. We've, as preachers and teachers, we flesh it out in different ways. But there's really only one sermon. And that simply is, there is a God, and it ain't you. And it's not me. We see in Psalm 67 what God would write on his sticky note, what God does, and what his ways are that are known. The psalmist begins, and you probably know this language. It's reflective of that great blessing in Numbers 6 that you hear very often at the close of a worship service. That Trinitarian blessing that is based on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when we see that may God be merciful to us and bless us and show us the light of his countenance and come to us. That your ways may be known upon the earth, your saving health among all nations. The rub is, as Isaiah 55 puts very clearly, our ways are not your ways. It was reported once that the first baseman of the Cincinnati Reds, who had an interesting owner at the time, and she was an eccentric lady, but quite Christ-like, she gave a talk to the team saying that if you became better Christians, we would win more. And we laugh, but at the root, we're tempted to believe that. That somehow we're in a leverage situation. But the first baseman had more wisdom than many of us, for he responded to Ms. Marge, God doesn't care at all about baseball. If he did, Billy Graham would hit 750. We know from Isaiah 55 that our ways are not God's ways. We can't get over that. Even our Savior, in the picture painted and represented behind me in stained glass, a picture, a painting that, while beautiful, doesn't do justice to the angst that Jesus felt in that garden as he wrestled with the way that the Father's way was not his way. His way was that this cup would pass. His way would be that in his humanity that he shared with us, he understands wanting God to do what's on your sticky note. But he modeled for us that proper situation when he said, but nevertheless, not my way be done, but thy way be done. We are to do these ways, and we see that there are four ways, four things on God's sticky note that he is doing in the world, and we praise him and sing hallelujah for what he's doing. The first is that he's merciful. Nothing on your sticky note is more important than the fact that God Almighty, the Holy God of the universe, is merciful to you. He's forgiven you. That's the heart of the gospel, that He was the Lamb that was slain for the forgiveness. So the guilt and the shame that we carry, He bore, so that we could have mercy and forgiveness. We're forgiven people. I have heard for 15, 16 years John Williams sing. I've probably heard more songs that he's sung than Tricia's heard. I've never heard any song more powerful than the one he did a couple, 3 weeks ago here. Because he understands that, and we understand that at the bottom of everything, at the top of every list of what we have to be grateful for, is that we are redeemed. We have received not what we deserve, which is justice. We have received mercy. He's told us, lift up your head, put on the ring, take my robe, put on shoes, and let's celebrate together. But we have received mercy. That's His first way. The second way is His blessings, His favor. It's what Jen read in the gospel, that the Father Himself loves you. And He showed His favor, His smile. In the Old Testament, the king's favor was demonstrated by His smile. We know the look, don't we? I don't know. Men do the look, but I know women know the look for men. Women, I mean, we understand the look. We understand when a teacher, a mother, or whatever is not happy. We know the look. And the fact that when God Almighty looks at you, there's no scowl. There's no sarcastic, he ought to be doing better by now. There's no disappointment that she's not what I thought she would be. There's a smile, and that smile is Jesus Christ that is blessing us all. But He also shows us the light of His countenance. He enlightens us. He enlightens us, and He gives us faith. We read in Acts 16 that Mary read that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention of what was. We're not aware of all the goodness that God's given to us because we're smarter than those that don't believe. We're not here because we're wiser. We're not here because we're more enlightened. We're not here because we're better people than those who don't believe. We believe because God has gifted us with that. If it wasn't for His enlightening us, the gift that He's given us, we would still be blind and dark in our trespasses and sins. And then the final thing He gives us is He will come to us. We have His presence. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And it says in verse 2, and in our translation on the insert, it doesn't have what your Bible and every other translation has and what should be there. And that's a simple word, that. If you look in your translation, you'll see that. And it reads like this, may God be merciful to us and bless us, show us the light of His countenance and come to us that your ways would be known upon the earth. See, God didn't just do that for us so that we can take all these blessings, all this favor, all this enlightenment, all this presence of God and sort of put it in our back pocket and have a warm feeling and be content. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Holy Land or if you've seen pictures, but there's a wonderful lively body of water that's beautiful, crisp, and clear. It's called the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful lake. It's lively. It's alive. And it flows down. And it flows down through a powerful river to a much larger lake. And that lake is called the Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea because nothing lives in it. As fat as I am, when I was there, I was able to lay on it and float. There's no livelihood. There's nothing there. And what I hear from scientists that know far more than I do on these things, it's because it receives, but it's stagnant. It receives, but it never gives out. It's just completely stagnant. And I think it's a great picture of the blessings of God. They come to us not so that we just receive them and grow stagnant and dry, but that we pass it on. We share it. We receive all these goodness so that your ways be known upon the earth. So how do we share it? How do we share it? Well, I'm going to give you three ways, and I'm alliterating this. So you'll remember. First thing you do is shine. Shine. Those of you ladies who are married, do you remember getting your engagement ring? When you received your engagement ring? It might be a long time ago for some. For some, it's not as long ago. But do you know how women that get engagement rings, it does something to their hand? So when they just get the engagement ring, it's like they're doing this number all the time. I don't think they have to wake up and go, you know, doggone it, I've got to show off my wedding ring today. I don't really want to. I just don't keep it in my pocket. No, it's no chore. It's no obligation. They shine because they've received a love. When we get good things, I saw it today, when people want to raise their hands and praise God for good things that are going on. When we get through difficult times that we didn't think we could get through, it's not just for us to think God really likes me. It's for us to be able to let His ways known to all. And we shine. Years ago, my brother worked as a roadie helper, I guess, for a Christian band called the Newsboys. And he thought I needed to listen to it, and it was way rockier than I like. But one song, I really liked the lyrics, and it was called Shine. It says, shine. Make them wonder what you've got. They're on the outside looking in. And I think what the reason why God blesses His children is that we go out into the world telling everyone how good our Father is. We shine so that others will know the way of the Lord. The other thing we do is we share. I have heard, and I know, and people like to quote it, the saying that's attributed to everyone from Augustine to Francis of Assisi, to everyone, that saying, preach the gospel all the time. And if you have to use words, that's okay too. Well, let me tell you, it's half right. You should shine. There should be a joy and a spirit of gratitude to God that all people see. But brothers and sisters, we're also called to use words. It's words. It's the word. And we're to share. We're to tell people when they ask you, how are you getting through this? Well, don't say by a hope and a prayer. Don't say I'm just sliding by. Well, I guess I'm doing it. No, point to Jesus. When people say, how'd you make it? Be honest and say, I wouldn't have, except for my Father shined on me in Christ. Shine, share, and then another way that you may not think about, and I'm going to suggest to you it's the most central. Sip. Sip. Do you know two sermons are preached here every Sunday? I preach one, or Andy, or anyone else that might be taking the pulpit. I preach one. Do you know who preaches the other? You remember a scripture that says, do this as remembrance of me. And when you do, you proclaim the Lord's death until I come again. Receive His gifts. Share His gifts. His way is working. And what the promise we have is that which Barry read in Revelation at the end. That last verse in John 16, 33. And I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. It doesn't say in your government you'll have peace. It doesn't say in your job you'll have peace. It doesn't say in your family you'll have peace. It doesn't say in your health you'll have peace. It doesn't say in your finances you'll have peace. It says, in me you shall have peace. In fact, it says the exact opposite. In the world, and there the world is just everything that's not Jesus. It's not that which is not me. In the world, you will have tribulation. So, let's stop the magical thinking that we're going to reach a point where it's all going to be easy and peaches and cream. In the world, you will have tribulation. But, take heart. Encourage. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And that wonderful word there, overcome, is a Greek word, nikeo, where Nike gets their term. It means to conquer, but it's more than just to defeat. It's a picture of one who rushes into a burning building and carries off with him into safety that which was rescued. See, this is the way of God. Not to make everything out there more difficult, more easier, not to get rid of all the problems, but for us to overcome in Him as He's carrying us through. It's easy to walk out of a building that's not on fire. Anybody can do that. But for you to go through the difficulties and heat of the fire that you may be found in safely and protectedly and with joy, it's only because you're being carried by the Lamb of God, our Savior. And let me finish with one other thing that will bring you some peace. In verse 2 of Psalm 67, it says, that your ways be known upon the earth. Known simply means here, shown, seen. We taste and see that the Lord is good. It does not mean you'll understand it. I beg of you, quit trying to understand the ways of the Lord. There's no peace in that. The peace is not in understanding. The peace is in saying, tasting and seeing and knowing and thanking and telling all people how good our Father is in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Let us give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts in praise to you, God of glory, because in every time and place you have shown yourself to your people and revealed your purpose to dwell with them always. In the wilderness you made your place of dwelling in a tabernacle. In Jerusalem, the temple became a theater of encounter with you. In Jesus, your Son, you came among us, making your home in human flesh. In his death, he faced the consequences of our sin. And in his resurrection, he made possible an everlasting home for us at your right hand. You have prepared for us a holy city of heavenly lights, where we will dwell with you forever. So with angels and archangels, we join the praises sung forevermore in that eternal city.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, heaven, power, and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God Almighty, from your throne flows the rivers of life. Feed us from that river, for your tree of life bears fruit for the healing of the nations. Nourish your church in this sacred meal, that the bread and the wine we receive may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who by the power of your Holy Spirit, on the night in which he was taken, took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ has come again."
Revealing God, whose radiance is all holiness, make your face to shine upon us, that we may be saved. Look with mercy upon those who turn to you in hope, and long for peace the world cannot give. In your light of compassion, hold in your light of compassion every troubled heart that waits for the dawn of your one eternal day. Shine with the fullness of your love into every fear-filled soul, and make yourself known to all who long to see your face. Until that hour when night is no more, and there is no need of lamp or sun, when you will be our light, and when in your eternal radiance you shall reign forever and ever, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is a table prepared for you. Your participation is communion in the very body and blood of Christ, proclaiming his death until he comes. I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come to his table to receive the very body and blood of our sacrificial lamb, our Passover. Let us keep the feast together.
Thank you.
about prayer. So don't bow your heads. You are being given a gift of good words. It's like an inheritance. They're words that I've been commissioned as a called pastor, his words, to speak to you. You are to receive these words. So make eye contact with me as I do to you and tell you with all authority from God above. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and give you peace and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. And you say, amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.